Thank you, Donna. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope everybody is doing well. The sun is shining for now, and God is good.
All the time.
He really, really is good. It's so good to see you this morning. We welcome you. We are glad to have you with us. If you are part of our online audience today, we just welcome you as well. As always, we usually give somebody I'll call it the central howdy. Give somebody a wave and a smile that says, "Hey, I'm so glad that you're here." And since I guess you can howdy, if you're our online folks, you can howdy our own Dr. Cazito over there. You can give him a wave. Be sure to let him know that you're out there and alive, because he's watching for you. We appreciate all that he does for those who are tuning in online, particularly on our Sunday. So we're glad to have you with us. We trust that the Lord's going to speak to your heart as we take these moments to gather around him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And let's just call on the Lord as we begin our time together today. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we're again grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you give us. Father, today I think of many places across the world where there are those who are meeting in fear of their lives to worship you. Lord, there are those who don't have the freedoms that we have today. So, Father, today I pray that you would especially bless those folks who are serving you in harm's way. Lord, I pray that as we come together, that we will truly be grateful for these opportunities that we have and the freedoms that we have to be able to come around your word. And Lord, not have the persecution that we can see in so many other places. So today I pray, Father, that you will help us to clear our hearts and our minds, that we might be receptive to the Holy Spirit's movement in this place. And Lord, not just in this place, but in each and every one of our own lives on an individual and personal basis. Father, you're so good to us. May we be in tune with what you have for each and every one of us today in your house. And then Lord, help us to always understand that it's not just about what we can receive from you, but Lord, it's about what we can be as part of the body by way of giving to you. Lord, those that are around us that need that word of encouragement, those, Father, that need lifted up, those who need a spiritual word. There's no accident that you have placed us where we are. There's no accident that each and every one of us are here this day. It's all part of your will. And may we be about your will as we take our time to worship you today. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we have entered this time, I mean, the calendar seems to be disappearing. If you're like I am, it just seems like days are evaporating. But at any rate, today is the first day of our in-gathering for Operation Christmas Child. I know some of you have already placed your boxes up here because you're afraid to walk up in front of public. I get that. But at any rate, here's something that we usually do on our days of in-gathering. We usually bring those boxes up front. We bring them down to the altar, as you see here. And then we simply ask you to take that moment to pray for that child and that family that's going to be receiving this gift. God already knows that. That is the really, really cool part, that you may not know it here, but someday, you know, there's going to be a child that's going to say to you, "You know what, that box that you packed, I had the opportunity to receive a gift that I had never received before, and I also had the opportunity to, to be able to hear the message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and that's why I'm here today," all over a simple little shoebox. So we ask that you take that time to present that as a gift. You present it to the altar. You ask God's blessing upon it to be used for his glory as you pray for the child, as well as the family. So at this time, I'm going to ask you, if you have your box, to bring them forward. Now, if you have already brought your box forward and you are able and you are not hindered, then I'm going to ask you to come up and just stand at the altar so that you could pray over that box. And I know some of you are saying, come on now. Yeah, cooperate. Yeah, this is a very important time for you to pray for somebody that you've never seen, and the cool part is God's already got a plan for it. So you come on up. Don't be shy. Roger, lead the way, brother. Come on. Show them how to come up here, you know. I know everybody forgot how to walk these days, so we got you. Just bring your boxes up if you have them with you, and if you haven't and you've already placed them up here, please come to take that time, very important time, to ask God's blessing over what is taking place and what is done. We will take just a moment by which to do that. Come on up here, brother. I'm trying to improve my image, if you can't tell. But we're going to take the time. We're going to pray for these boxes. We're going to pray that God's will would be done along the way. You whisper a prayer in silent, and then I will close our time together. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful for the provision that you give each and every one of us. And Lord, for these shoe boxes that have been packed with care and with love, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, this is simply a tool by which to get the gospel message out. Lord, we think about those who will receive these boxes, Lord, through Christmas and then even beyond. But Lord, I pray that they won't just simply receive a gift at Christmas, but Lord, I pray that they will receive the greatest gift of all, and that is your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have the opportunity to be able to participate in your plan. And Lord, bless the children, bless their families, bless those areas where these boxes will eventually be delivered. Lord, we pray you'll use them for your honor and glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. This is my bodyguard, in case you didn't know. If you ever rush me and you see him, you're going to be in trouble along the way. By the way, if you did not have an opportunity to remember that today was in-gathering day, that's why next Sunday is also a day of in-gathering. So we will do the same thing next week, and then we'll, of course, move these boxes over to the facility next door to begin packing them, and then we will shift gears from our local church ministry to being a regional drop-off for Operation Christmas Child. So if you'd still like to participate, that is great. Now, I will say this. There has been a pretty overwhelming response, and I want to remind folks that we have actually run out of boxes, and we can't get any more boxes. Now, you can go to the store. You can get the little plastic containers. Don't just sit back and say, well, they don't have any more boxes, and I can't do it. Just get you one of the little plastic containers that you can put items in, and that can be received as well. There's no problem with that. Like I say, it's a blessing that we actually ran out of boxes. That's just something that that we haven't had happen, and even the area, the next step up from us, also has run out of boxes as well. So that's a good thing. We're praying that they're going to be essentially filled and used for the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior. So we're going to take a little bit of time. We're going to worship. I have not forgotten that it is Veterans Day. We're going to take a moment a little bit later on in our service to take the time to recognize those who have served our country, those who continue to serve us to this day. But now let's continue to worship as Brad comes to lead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Oh,
Choir, please join me singing Worthy of Worship, hymn number 3.
Opportunity that we have just to be in the house of the Lord and have that opportunity to sing praises to Him. And like I say, I think you see it differently when you've been in places and had the opportunities where that is not true. But yet worship looks different. And when I say it looks different, there are those folks who gather around the Word of God, and it just it changes their life each and every day. But I've said before that you go places like that, you can almost pick out Christian people as opposed to those who are non-believers just by how they look, just like the look on their face. It's probably been one of the clearest cases of your spirit bearing witness one with another that I have ever seen in my life, even different than what it is here in America. We have truly been blessed by God. And we should not take those times and opportunities for granted. Today, as we head into tomorrow, which is Veterans Day, I've always said this before, we are very, very pro-military around here. That doesn't mean that we like to pick fights, but what that means is that we love those who have taken the time and the opportunity out of their life to be able to serve our country, and we feel like that they deserve that type of recognition. Although it's a little recognition, it's nothing that you and I should take lightly. It's just a small token and just a small way to be able to say thank you to those who have protected our country. They have protected our freedoms and protected all of our rights. And I believe that that is very, very important. I want to be very careful to how I say this, but I'm a country boy, so I probably won't. We need to be very, very thankful that we live in the United States of America. Until you have been someplace outside, until you have lost the freedoms that you have in this country, you don't understand what you got. Regardless, I'm saying our country may have problems, but there's still no place in the world I would rather be. And thanks be to God, I've had the opportunity to see a lot of places, and I've had an opportunity to do missions in a lot of those places. But I will tell you, it was always great to come back home to the land of the free and the home of the brave, and that is the land of the free because of the brave. It's been purchased with a price. Today, I want to take a moment to recognize those in our congregation. I am going to ask you to join me up on the stage, if you would. If you have served in our armed forces, please join me on the stage, if you would. Come on down. Don't be shy. Don't wait. Be the first person. That's it. Yeah, be that first person to come up here and join me on this stage. I have always said, and I want you to take a good look at these guys, and I want you to take some opportunities. I want you to take this challenge as we go forward, and the challenge is this. I want you to talk to these guys about some of their experiences, because when you have an opportunity that these men have had, regardless of what the circumstances and the situations may have been, I love to hear the stories of the times of when they talked about their opportunities to be able to serve this particular country. Isn't that a good looking crew up here? I want you to hear a little bit more about them. Give them a hand. And if any of you need a chair, let me know, okay? Because I don't want you to be up here for so long. But I also want you to understand who these guys are and what they have done. Sometimes I just sit back with my chin on the ground. Although I should. By the way, I've got it on, Ernie. But what I want to ask these guys to do is just to share with you what branch of the military service, rank, maybe where they served, some of the opportunities that they had to protect the freedoms of our country. We'll start down here on this end, brother. Just tell me.
My name is Mickey Garrison. I'm new to this congregation. I was in the Army. I was stationed in the U.S. and Germany. I was very lucky not to have to go to Vietnam, and I ended up being a sergeant first class.
Ryan Anderson. I was in the Marine Corps 20 years. I've been all over the world, so I was a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps.
Bill Gray. I was in North Carolina, Fort Bragg here, 82nd Airborne Division, 2nd 504, and I served in, I went to Korea and Southeast Asia.
Dave Smith, United States Air Force, non-commissioned officer. I never had to leave the country.
I'm Bill Eatman. I served also in the Air Force. Most of my time I spent in Alaska.
I'm Roger Brooks. I served in the United States Air Force from 1971 to 1977 in Fort Worth, Texas, Carswell Air Force Base.
I'm Don Anderson. I served in the United States Coast Guard, probably the only branch of service up here that really should be recognized. But anyhow, I served on a ship in the military in Norfolk, Virginia, and elsewhere.
I'm Steve Kelly, and I'm a friend of Don's, even though he's a Coastie, but that's okay. I was in the military from 1977 to 1998. I served on ships throughout the world, a very active part in Desert Storm, Desert Shield. And I was blessed by my service.
I served 18 months in Germany on the border, east and west Germany. and the Army, U.S. Army.
Name Eddie Pegg. I served in the United States Army from 72 to 74, then 4 years in the North Carolina National Guard, all stateside. I didn't have to go to Vietnam.
Roger Howerton. I served in the Korean conflict, and if they left us alone during that time, we would have taken North Korea along with it, but our government decided against that, and so we see what we have today.
Kirk Gross, I was Army Engineers, U.S. Army from 80 to 95, got out 11 years. Went back in the National Guard in 06 till 2013. Been everywhere from the Gulf War to Afghanistan.
Okay, before I let you give these guys a hand, somebody get a picture of these guys without me in it. Have you got... Get your phone out. Let me get out of the way because I want to make sure we have a picture of these guys up here. So let me move real quick. Am I in the way, Monica? Let me sit down just a second and tell me when you're good. You good? Okay, you'll share that with me, right? Okay, now what I want to do, as I've said so many times, although this is small, we do have a token of appreciation to give each of those guys, but we don't have a token of appreciation to give those guys because the United States Postal Service is not as efficient in the Oak Ridge area. So it is going to arrive, guess when? Tuesday. But I am going to make sure that each and every one of you get that gift in a personal way from Central Baptist Church, but we also want to take this moment to tell you that we thank you for your service on behalf of Central Baptist Church and the Carter family. We love you, man. We appreciate each and every one of you. We appreciate what you guys have done. I get to preach today in freedom because of you guys. And I mean that with all my heart. We will fight for each one of you guys. We appreciate you. And I can't say enough about that. Guys, show them your appreciation in a way that says, I'm glad to be an American and I'm glad to be free. Thank you, guys. Thank you, buddy. We have these opportunities, and I've seen some things as the guys make their way back down to their seats. I just simply want to say that I'm also appreciative of those who serve in other ways. It has been extraordinarily busy behind the scenes around Central Baptist Church, particularly over the past couple of months, but even more so in the past month. And I don't want to leave anybody out, but I want to let you know that you guys have seriously risen to the challenge of all the things that have been taking place in Western North Carolina. I am grateful that we have two pilots. I try to be careful about last names, but Billy and Don have actually been running at times multiple trips into Avery County by air with donations that you guys have brought. The men's D-Life group actually collected. Some of you all participated in the collections that went up to the mountains. Ken drove the truck up there, unloaded those supplies. Mari's women's group sorted through all those different things. Steve has served 2 weeks of his life as the lead chaplain up at Arden at Biltmore. Kirk has gone up and spent a week of his life up there cutting trees to get people through, getting things off houses. Jimmy has run feeding units back and forth and bunk trailers and so many different things along the way. I cannot thank you enough, but I want to say something that I have found to be true, and I think that it's very incredible. In a time where our world is being pulled apart, in a time where the world seems to be trying to separate us, I see something different when I go there. I still remember it. I first started to see it when Jimmy and I were taking a bunk trailer from the coast where we had a storm up to the mountains. And people on the road that were blowing the horn and pointing toward the mountains and saying, hey, go help Western North Carolina. to the point of trying to get through places where people are actually, they'll get out of your way because they're realizing you're there to help them. And I want to make a statement, and I hope that you will hold on to this. As I've gone there, as we have provided tankers and showers and water and food and needed supplies all the way across, and I'm talking about as Southern Baptists, we've provided these things and continue to do so. Here is something that I want to remind you that's very, very interesting. Not one single time did I ask somebody if they were a Republican or a Democrat. Not one single time did I even ask them if they knew Jesus or not. Not one single time. You know why? Because God has called us to help our fellow brothers, particularly in times of need. And what I have seen that's different is a uniting of people there. We call it North Carolina Strong. Western North Carolina is going to recover because of their love for each other, because of the help that is being provided to them. You go up on those sites and you will see somebody who's lost everything, but yet they still have hope. They still have the hope of Jesus Christ. They still every day will go, and maybe daily they have to go because particularly Swannanoa is where I was Friday. We had to take a tanker. That's the only source of water for that area right now. And I felt kind of bad because I had to cut it loose from everything to take it down to Marion. And then you see a hillbilly coming off a Black Mountain and a tractor trailer truck, get out of the way. We filled that thing back up, took it back up there. As people were waiting to take showers, as people were waiting, the cooks were waiting to be able to cook because that was the only source of water that they had by which to do those things. And life is different. It will never, ever be the same. But I will tell you that by the grace of God, they will survive. They're loving on each other while outside people love on them. And I thought, what a lesson for us today. Why is it that we allow to turn the country phrase, things that don't amount to a hill of beans, to separate us, to pull us apart, to push us in different directions, to keep us arguing with one another over nothing? Nothing. If you looked at our social media site or my social media site Friday night, Saturday, or along the way today, you'll see the tanker, but you will also see a couple of pictures. That was Friday, and that storm happened several weeks ago. Obviously, a business that something essentially had come through the side of the business, the front of it was falling apart. As I made the turn, literally, as far as from here to the corner of the church that we're working out of, that truck that's turned over on its side. And then off to my right was a house, and I thought, well, that's an awful odd direction to build a house. And the guy said, that house wasn't there before the storm. That's just where it landed after the storm. I said, well, does anybody know whose house it is? They said, nope. The floodwaters just brought it in and set it down right there. There's no foundation to it. There's no nothing. And yet, you know what I saw? I saw people that had joy. Because, see, their joy didn't come from their home or their circumstances or their situation. Although there were tears behind that, their joy came from the Lord. I have watched and I have posted some of the videos once again to our site of those that were victims of this storm who said, well, we don't have anything now. Let's just help those who do. And even though their own situation is a mess, they're there every day helping out those that are their neighbors. Could we really say that's the way we would act or react in a situation such as that? Everything is gone. All you have is God and each other. Would circumstantial faith kick in, or would there be something different along the way? We live in a great, great country. Today we gather, and today we honor and remember the courage and the sacrifice of those who have served in our armed forces. See, Veterans Day is a time to reflect. Veterans Day is a time to show forth our gratitude and our understanding of the deep values that are embedded in the acts of service in which each and every one of these men, and I include women, because women are in the armed forces, we just didn't have any of them that were with us today. But they're examples to each and every one of us. So as I thought about that today, and I thought about how that correlates with Scripture, the Scripture that comes to my heart and my mind is John chapter 15, verse 13. I want to spend just a moment in that Scripture today. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So I want us to understand the call to service, because, you know, as born-again believers, there are some similarities, there are some parallels between our call to service as a believer and the call to service of one of those whom have served in the military to protect our rights and to protect our freedoms. You see, the first point I want to make is a call to service. And this centers on a call to serve other people. Did you get that? I think we've gotten that turned around in society. We want people to serve us. But yet our call and the call of the United States military personnel is to serve others. Serving in the military is a profound expression of selflessness and commitment. See, this is in line with the teachings of Christ that we read through the Bible. You know, as service in any capacity reflects the heart of love and dedication to other people. Now, I want to say that again. That service reflects a heart and a dedication to other people. Unfortunately, I think in America, we have become more and more selfish every day. It's all about what's good and right and what is best for me. Not necessarily what is good and what is right and what is best for the others. I love what the Word of God says, and I use this oftentimes in marriages where it says this, and particularly in relationships, it says that you should esteem the other as better than self. Y'all remember that scripture? Say amen if you do. Okay, so when we evaluate how we're acting, when we evaluate what we're doing, are we esteeming the other as better than ourselves? You know, if we cut somebody off in traffic, that's not. I have to think a lot when I drive about how things are reflective of the love of God towards that wonderful individual that just cut me off. But you see, the problem is we've become selfish in our nation. It's more about what I want. It's more about what I want to do. It's not about the others that are in our midst, even to the point of sacrifice. Let me tell you something. If you're following Jesus and you're doing it properly, there's going to be some sacrifice in your life. And oh, let me give you a reminder. It's all His anyway. You will sacrifice your time. You will sacrifice your efforts. You will sacrifice your talents. You will sacrifice your abilities to serve other people. That's what these men who stood on this stage did. They often left their homes. They left their families. They left this country to ensure the freedoms that you and I are enjoying today. You know, I've stood up in Cuba and I had preached a message when people were watching for the government officials, because I wasn't supposed to be doing what I was doing. I've been in those circumstances where we have been followed around, and even last year watched by the CDR. We don't have that here. Man, even during the pandemic, we had speakers up. This corner of Oak Ridge got to hear Central Baptist Church's message every Sunday. It's for others. Why do we do what we do? Why do we sacrifice as we should? Because the Lord should put within our heart a burden for other people, a burden for lost souls. You know, the more I think about that and the more I see it, the conversations that we have on a daily basis are all over the place. You know what? I don't really care what your political affiliation is. You need Jesus. My job and your job is to carry Jesus to people. That's our job. And disciple them. Listen, you and I can't change anybody. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can do that. As I thought about this particular point, as I thought about, you know, the fact that there is a call to service, I was considering the story that we read about in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, about the centurion. And despite his position, he showed great faith and humility in seeking Jesus' help for his servant. You know, in other words, it would reflect that people would be going, I can't believe he's going and talking to Jesus. And yet, look at his position of power. Look at what he's doing. But you see, the thing about it is he loved his servant more than he did his position. He took the chance on Jesus. And he said, you know what? I really don't care what people around me think about who I believe in. I love this servant enough that I'm going to do whatever it takes to get him to Jesus. I'm also reminded of the men whose friend was sick and the crowd that was around Jesus. This is one of my favorite passages, and I know you hear me say that all the time, but it is, where they took their friend on a stretcher and they couldn't get him into Jesus. Remember what they did? They went up on the roof, they took the roof apart, and they lowered him down to Jesus. I've said this before, what would you be doing if all of a sudden there was a chainsaw and you started seeing a hole come into the ceiling and then somebody's letting somebody down? Now listen, don't get me wrong. Would you be sitting back going, I'm going to tell you one thing. Somebody's going to really have to come across with some money to fix that hole. Do you think these men, they were at somebody's house. If somebody took your roof apart, are you going to be sitting back going, whoa, hold on a minute. Don't tear up my house. We'll get the guy in. You see, those men that brought their friend to Jesus, it was more important to get him to Jesus than the peripheral things. And folks, I am afraid that sometimes we're too busy focusing on the peripheral things, like the holes in the roof, rather than the soul that comes through it. I've learned in my time on this earth that Jesus can fix anything. I've also learned that he has an endless supply of resources. He owns it all. And when we follow him, he will take care of all the other stuff. You know what a joy that must have been for them to see their friend get up and walk out of that place. And I'm sure some of them said, well, we got to talk to old Herbert because we cut a hole in his roof. We'll fix it back for him. So sometimes it takes effort and energy. Sometimes it takes money. See, we can apply this particular kind of way that we're learning today to serve our town better, to serve our community better, to serve our brothers and sisters better, whether it's through volunteering, whether it's through helping a neighbor, or whether it's supporting our veterans on local levels, you know, whatever it may be. See, we must seek out opportunities to extend our love and hands to other people, because our hands are not our hands. When we're serving the Lord, our hands represent his hands. Isn't that cool? You know, I was grateful yesterday that I got to be a part, or Friday, I got to be a part of something Jesus did. Because when I pulled back in there and I hooked that tanker back up, there were a bunch of people who were going to get to eat that day because I did my job. There were a bunch of people who were going to be able to get a shower that evening. They'd been working out there all day. There were a bunch of people who were going to have the opportunity to put their head on a pillow that night with a belly full. Because I did what God asked me to do. We need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, not just simply the supervisors of the Lord's way. There's a difference. It is time to get in the game. The second thing we want to see is that there was a sacrifice that was made, and Christ was our sacrifice. You see, the second thing I want us to emphasize today is that the sacrifice is in service. Veterans willingly risk their lives for the safety and the freedom. Do you understand that? I want to say this to you again. The safety and the freedom of others. The safety and the freedom of our country. You know, mirroring the sacrificial love that Jesus showed us. Remember what he said. He said in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see, the ultimate illustration of sacrifice is found in the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Remember how that went? Jesus went into the garden to pray. This was just prior to his being arrested. And he knew what was coming. He knew that he faced the cross. And he took his three heavy-hitting disciples, as it were, and he said, "You stay here and you pray. I'm going a little further into the garden." And remember, he found them asleep a couple times. But that's not the thrust of the point. It said that Jesus prayed when he was in that Garden of Gethsemane with such fervor that the sweat was as blood drops that ran from his brow. You know why? Because remember what he said to the Father. He said, "Father, if there's another way that your will can be accomplished," in other words, if there's another way salvation could be accomplished without me having to be crucified on a cross, let's go that route. But you also remember what Jesus ultimately said. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He said, "It's not about what I want, Father. It's about what you want." And we know how that turned out. We know that Jesus did what he did for you and I, because greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his brother. We can show appreciation for these sacrifices by cherishing the freedoms that we enjoy. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment, because I think too often we have taken for granted the freedoms that we enjoy. And over time, having opportunity to talk to those that are veterans, those who have participated in conflicts, you know what they really want to see? They want to see us as Americans appreciative for what they've done. Appreciative for the freedoms that they have, in a way that they realize their service was not in vain. Even for a bunch of messed up minded punks in America, they still secured those freedoms. And they don't want us to take those for granted. We need to cherish the freedoms that we enjoy. We need to advocate for the rights of our veterans. We need to support them. Our veterans should be taken care of. I'm not getting political here, but maybe I am. We need to take care of the people at home before we take care of people outside of our country. And again, I don't care what your political persuasion is. We shouldn't have homeless veterans in the United States of America that have done their time, that have served. We should take care of them. We should advocate for them. We should be their voice. We should be the ones that are saying there are things that need to be straightened out in the VA. There are things that need to be straightened out in benefits. We should be the ones saying those things. We should advocate for their rights and support them and their families in tangible ways. Not just, "Thank you so much." Thanks is good. But what else have you done to be able to support them? Finally, faithful perseverance. Remember, we're drawing a parallel between what Christ did to those who have served our country. The last point highlights the perseverance that is embodied by the veteran. Their unwavering commitment and tenacity in the face of adversity are examples for all believers to draw upon in our faith. Because let me tell you something, there are going to be some incoming spiritual rounds. These men that have stood up here, many of them know what it sounds like to have a shell come over their head or land beside them. Many of them know what it's like to hear that gunfire that none of us have ever heard. They understand what that is like. Then they yet they had an unwavering commitment. And they had what I call bulldog tenacity in the face of adversity. What an example to each and every one of us. You know what? It's kind of interesting that the Lord in His Word talks about spiritual warfare. Did you get that? Spiritual warfare. That means there is a spiritual war going on in and around you. The question is the Lord winning? Are you winning for the cause of the Master? Or are you losing the war? The Apostle Paul's words resonate here when he speaks in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Despite the challenges that we face, perseverance strengthens our character, and perseverance strengthens our faith. You see, we are encouraged to persevere in our own spiritual journeys, learning from the resilience of the United States veteran. Whether in prayer or daily struggles, our faith and our commitment to God is what guides us through each and every single day. So this week, today, tomorrow, but not just today, tomorrow, every day, as we commemorate Veterans Day, let us express our gratitude by honoring those who have served our country and supporting them in their needs, and then living lives that reflect service, sacrifice, and perseverance. Can we do that as born-again believers? Can we take those notes from them? Can we look at them and not only take the notes from our Heavenly Father, but also take notes from what they have done? Because guess what? You're in the Lord's eye. And I always say this, and some of y'all will remember this fondly. Some of you may not have ever heard of it, but I think most of y'all have enough birthdays behind you and have been around church enough that you will understand what I'm getting ready to say, and it's not new. I've said it probably every year. I still remember as a child going to Vacation Bible School, and one of the songs we always sang at the opening assembly was Onward Christian Soldiers. Remember that? Remember the lyrics of that? Marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. It is addressing the spiritual battles that are going to take place in our lives, or that are taking place in our lives. I used to think about that. And remember that there was another little song that we used to sing. For some reason, it seemed like we prepared our children or our generation a little differently than we do today. Remember the song that had the motions to it? I may never ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army. Do not all these things show you that there is spiritual warfare, and that there is conflict, and that we need to be ready for it? Wow. Satan likes to erode our memory, doesn't he? He likes to make it not as important as it was before. Guys, veterans, you are loved, you are important, and we would not be here today without you. You are always welcome at Central Baptist Church. If the world turns their back on you, you have a home right here. Plain and simple. We love you. We support you. We will do our best to encourage you. And we're thankful to call you brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy it is. I've often said this, you know, particularly around Memorial Day. I thank a veteran. If you see somebody, just tell them thank you. And I know people say, well, I've heard that a lot. That goes a long way to saying, you know what, I appreciate what you did for me. Yeah, I do. All these men that stood behind me today, I know that I stood behind this pulpit today and I got to preach the Word of God with freedom because of them. Because of Jesus, but because of them. Jesus saved your soul, but he used the U.S. military to save your freedom. Plain and simple. I love these guys. They're my kind of folk. And I'm going to ride with them to the very end. I pray you will as well. And I pray that we can learn some lessons from the Word of God as well as from the examples of those fine men that you saw stand before you today. You know what? A lot of these guys saw combat. A lot of these guys know what it's like to not know whether or not you were going to make it through the day. Some will talk with you about their stories. Some, it's still a very, very fresh situation. I love to listen to them. Most of the time I walk away going, wow. Didn't know that about my fellow church brother. Didn't know all the things they went through. And sometimes we laugh. I still remember one of our brothers that served in the military that was here in the war, and we had this opportunity to share on a Sunday, and there were people who said, well, I served in Vietnam, and I served here, and I served there, and he said, well, I served, and he said, I served in the U.S. Navy, but the most exciting thing I got to do was guard the bananas. Well, somebody had to guard them bananas, okay? They were ready to do what they needed to do when it needed to be done. So no matter what, you stood ready. And we appreciate you. Brad, I'm going to ask you, the musicians, if you would, to take your place. I simply have the question about whether or not you are a child of the King, whether you belong to the family of God. There's something about belonging and being a part of the family. And I know sometimes people sit back and maybe in your life, either you or somebody else has been part of your family that maybe they weren't necessarily blood kin, but you look at them as part of your family. They grew up with you. They were around you. You know, sometimes that's even thicker than blood kin, as it were. But how would you like to show up to the family reunion and them not be there? Because they weren't part of the family. I want to tell you something that's extremely important. And make sure you hear this if you don't hear anything else. Pretty soon the party's going to start. And the Lord is sending out invitations. And this one's RSVP. You won't show up if you ain't signed up. You will not be allowed entrance unless you have first taken up the Savior. Unless you have confessed your sins and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm asking you to come into my heart and save my soul and live for Him. Now, some people are going, oh, you're saying that there's something required. No, I said, I'm not saying that. The Bible is saying not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. That means Jesus in your life changes you. See, so many times people think, well, all I got to do is go to church, and I'll fill out that card, or I'll talk to the preacher, and I'll pray with him, and up, I'm done. I can go back to, you know, living like hell the rest of the week and doing my thing, but I've checked my box for heaven. Doesn't work that way. God Almighty vets the application, as it were. Because when Jesus truly gets in you, it will change you. Listen, I'm not here to change you. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, I won't come to church because, you know, y'all won't tell me to cover this up and cut that off and do this and do that and do the other thing. I'm like, where did you get that from? I said, I don't care what you wear. I said, now let me preface that. Don't walk through the doors naked. If you come through with clothes on, hallelujah. It's not up to me to tell you to do those things. It's up to the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit wants you to do those things. That's when Jesus in you changes you. Man, I'm just going to love you like you are. That's our job, to love everyone just as they are. We are all different. Amen? And we're all weird. You're weird, I'm weird, we're all weird. But you better get used to it, because I might be your neighbor in heaven. We might be living beside each other. Have you trusted Jesus? If not, you can begin that relationship right now. This is just the beginning. But you can call on him by saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I am bound for hell right now. But Father, today, I'm asking you to forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Now help me, Lord, to live the rest of my life for you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I can tell you that if you just got the handshake with Jesus, you just got introduced. Now he wants to get to know you. How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. There is a biblical concept for that. You know what it's called? You get to know him through prayer and through his word. If you're a new believer, this is not something that's hard, it's not difficult, and it's great. When you do discipleship with some other folks, it's fun. I'm serious, it's fun. You can learn, you can grow. If you trusted Jesus, let us know. By the way, he asked us to do something following salvation, and that is to follow him in baptism. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. It is your public profession of faith that you are identifying with him. That's your public profession, not when you come down here and talk to me. We got one that's going to be before long. I just have to talk to somebody about when the date's going to be. But we got one coming up. You can be a part. To be able to say, hey, look, I did what God asked me to do. Listen, here's what's going to happen, and I promise I'm going to shut it down. There's a lot of you here, a lot of you that are listening online. There are a lot of you that are here who went through that phase that when you were younger, you accepted Jesus. A lot of your friends were, whether it was peer pressure, whether you were a part of it, or whatever the circumstance may have been, you did it. Maybe it was just an emotional experience and not a true conversion. And you found out later on in life that that was not a true conversion experience. And then you trusted Jesus. I'm tickled for you. But you know what the problem is? What happened later on was you actually trusted Jesus, but you're trying to count your baptism from when you were little. That's not following baptism, following salvation. That's how you do it. It's after salvation. And some of y'all are sitting back going, I don't want to go down there because everybody, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a deacon, I'm a whatever. If I do that, people are going to go, first of all, you shouldn't, but wouldn't you rather somebody go, as opposed to God going, I told you and you didn't listen. It's time to make it right. Oh, by the way, that's not me. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You can hide from me all day long, but you can't hide from God. So what do you need to do? You need to let me know. Now is the time. It's time to get her done. Maybe you're here today and you've said, you know what, I've just been caught up on cruise control. And I haven't been being what God's wanted me to be. Yeah, I know God's wanted me to do some other things. He's put the burden in my heart to do it. Well, let's get going. But finally, here's something that I say can change this town, starting right here at this address. Let's stop acting like the world and let's start acting like Jesus. Let's disagree in ways that are okay to disagree and still love each other. Let's love each other into the kingdom of heaven, because what's going to happen is when people see that love, they want to be a part of it. You won't have to worry about empty rows in the church. You'll be trying to figure out where to put people if we just loved on them like we're supposed to. If we took a little bit of what's going on in the mountains of Western North Carolina and dropped it in the middle of Oak Ridge, North Carolina, you would watch it blossom like you've never seen before. Let's quit worrying about stuff that doesn't need to be worried about. We're going to preach Jesus unequivocally We're going to preach him crucified, buried, and resurrected. I'm not here to make you feel good. They have books and shows for that. Okay? I'm not going to be sitting here blowing sunshine your way and tell you all is right. I'm okay, you're okay. No, no. What I'm going to tell you is Jesus saves and you better get it right. We're not going to surrender the gospel. But we're going to live together, we're going to work together, and we're going to love each other regardless of our differences. And when we do that, holy moly, all I can say is God is good. And all the time, God is good. So I ask you, what decision has the Lord placed on your heart? And if you sit back and say, well, I just came in today and I'm just hanging out and that was good, nothing in my heart, then you didn't come in here with the right heart. Because regardless of how good or bad of a preacher you think I am, God's word doesn't return void. He said something to your heart. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Is it going to change your life starting from this day forward? I hope and pray it does. What will it be? As always, if you need an altar, here's one. If you need me, I am here. If you trusted Christ, please let us know, man. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you along the way. Listen, if you're not part of discipleship, you need to get to be a part of discipleship. You know, we're still working on some small group discipleship stuff. It's great. We have some that exist, some that are coming into being. What do you need to do? Today is the day to do it. Not only as we honor our veterans, but as we truly head into Thanksgiving. Man, I am thankful that I live in the United States of America. And I am thankful that Jesus went through the cross, through the grave, and resurrected just for me. I feel special today. I pray that you do as well as one of his children. What decision do you need to make? Do it now as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 281, Speak to My Heart, as Brad comes to lead us.
To my heart, Lord Jesus, speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, calm every doubt and fear.
Closed. Listen, don't let this moment of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart go unnoticed. You're either going to continue in the same vicious cycle, or you're going to change it today by the grace and the strength of God. Oh, he spoke to you. What did he tell you? What is it that he wants you to do today? Now is the accepted time. Today is the day. As you continue to do business with him, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, all good things come from you, and you give us the honor to be stewards of what you have entrusted us with. And Father, we're reminded today that a steward means that we're taking care of something for someone else. and you have blessed us beyond measure. Help us, Father, to be faithful stewards today as we come to the point where we return the tithe and the offering to you. And Lord, may it be blessed for your honor and glory as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're always blessed to have such a wonderful group of folks that provide worship atmosphere for us, aren't we? Amen. All right, let me tell you a couple things real quick. We'll get you out of here. Only birthday we have this coming week is Jennifer Willard. That's coming up on Thursday. That is Jeff Willard's wife. If you get a chance, be sure to let her know that how much you love her and appreciate her. Things that we've got going on today. My D group meets at 3:30 in our normal spot in the FLC. Choir practice, 4:45. Today on track, Wana is at its normal time, 5:30, 6 o'clock. We do have adult Bible study with Pastor David over here on this wing. If you come in our main doors, turn left, and second room on the left. Did I get it? I got it right. I always say the first one for some reason. Second room on the left. Band rehearsals, is that kicking back up, starting at 7 o'clock or right after essentially the adult Bible study. Band rehearsal will be right here in the sanctuary. Monday, Steve Kelly's D group meets. They have a new time. They're starting to meet at 6 o'clock p.m. Is that right? So that's the new time if you're part of Steve's D group that meets at 6 o'clock on Mondays. Then on Wednesday, as always, we have the 10 o'clock a.m. Breakfast, men's breakfast at the Olympic in Colfax. Again, no agenda, just a time for fellowship with the guys. Ladies will actually have their monthly breakfast on the 13th of this month. Yes, 13th of this month at 9 a.m. Is that correct? Okay, good. 13th at 9 a.m. Then also their ladies' connections monthly meeting will be on December the 4th at 6 o'clock p.m. In our Family Life Center. Just a reminder, be sure to remember that next Sunday is our final in-gathering for Operation Christmas Child boxes here at the church. Now, don't freak out if something happens and you can't make it. We are still a distribution center, so you can actually bring your boxes by the office. But next Sunday, we will be doing an in-gathering collection just like we did here today. So please, you know, try to have those together. That helps our team be able to get them packaged up for the next stop. Also, we have some, there are going to be some drop-off times for the region of people that are coming by here. If you would like to assist in those, that's on November the 11th, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Now, there are some varied times, like on the 18th, it's 4 to 7 p.m., and then the 23rd is 2 to 5, the 24th is 2 to 4:30, and then on the 25th, it's 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Now, I know you got every bit of that. So if you have a question about Operation Christmas Child, you can see Jana. She's standing right back there in the door, and you can let her know of your desire to be able to help out and when you can. Also, keep in prayer our 2025 Cuba mission team. That trip is set for February 28th through March the 7th. All of our documentation has to be in this week. So it looks like we have a team of four that are going this year. If you have a current passport, I can still get you in, but you better talk to me today, because this is pretty much, it takes 3 months to get our visas, so the state convention needs to have all that information in by this week. Finally, I want to say this, and then I'm going to allow David to elaborate on that. One of the things that one of our pilots has been doing, Billy has been flying in often multiple times a day into Avery County Airport, and he has some connections there to know what those needs are, which has been a blessing to us, because those needs change from day to day. You know, it started off with food and water, then it moved into clothing, then it moved into clothing for cold weather, and so the needs continue to change almost on a daily basis. So we're getting some feedback from those up in Avery County, and there is a project that we're looking to do, or actually we're in the process of doing this, let's just say it that way, through Central Baptist Church. There are, they call them buddy heaters. If you're not sure what they are, it is a small heater that can be used. It's like a small propane heater that can be used whether it's in a tent, because there's still a lot of folks that are living in tents even in this kind of weather. Families dropping by because they have children and they're living in a tent in these kind of conditions. So the convention, right now, the thrust after relief, the relief efforts of the convention will probably begin to subside by around Thanksgiving. Now, as long as people need water and we can still do that, we're still going to be hauling those kind of things. But for the most part, the feeding and all those things are now, they're stabilizing because folks have either found someone that they're staying with or whatever. The next phase of the project, I call it the three S's, they don't, but it is to make homes safe, secure, and sanitary. So teams are going in, they're gutting out, they're mudding out, they're gutting all these things out, they are treating for mold, and even if they can't get, you know, everything 100% back in order, they're making the home safe, sanitary, and what else did I say? Secure, thank you. I was just testing to see if y'all were listening. But that way, at least families can stay in the home with a roof over their head until the build back teams can get there. So that's kind of what phase of the project is going on right now. But at any rate, David will share a little bit more about the heaters with you that we have ordered and a way that you can participate in that. And then he'll see us out of here in a word of prayer.
There's an article in your bulletin today about these heaters, and you can see that. Take one home if you don't have a bulletin. Pick one up before you leave. The units that we have already purchased, matter of fact, they will be here sometime next week. They're coming from Cleveland, Ohio, and Billy has done some real work in contacting the company and the owner of the company, and they have agreed to sell us these units at their cost, which is amazing. I priced them over here at Lowe's Hardware last week and looked at what they are, and we're getting a real deal on them. The bottom line is they're designed for using with a 1 pound propane tank, but you can buy a conversion kit that will allow you to use a 20 pound tank. A 1 pound tank will, at the very best, will last about 5 hours. So you can imagine the disappointment of getting a heater and 5 hours later you don't have any heat. So we've bought the conversion kits and the heaters, And like I said, if everything goes well, they'll ship out of Ohio tomorrow. They'll be here, and then hopefully by the weekend, Billy will have them up there. The reason we did this, he was in there this week and delivering actually two different plane loads of supplies. And they told him both times, the thing we need most is heaters. Hasn't been really cold yet, except for a short period, but it's getting ready to get cold in the mountains. And I want to tell you, too, that we, everything that's being done, under Baptists are doing a great work up there, and Samaritan's Purse is, too, but last 2 weeks, there have been hundreds of Amish people from Pennsylvania who have been building outbuildings that people will be able to get into and get out of a tent. And I know that's temporary, but these people, they build one of those. Two people can build one of those buildings in a day. And so we need to pray for them and that God will continue to use them. I'm thankful all over America people are coming. Billy told me Saturday he was up there, and he said, I had a lady from North Dakota come and talk to me. She was there, had taken vacation time to come to North Carolina and work. And he said, I talked to another guy who actually quit his job, and he's here in North Carolina to work until it's done, whatever that means. People are making sacrifices. If you want to donate one, all you have to do to pay for these heaters, all you have to do is write a check to the church, send one to the church, drop one by, whatever, $65 will cover it. $65 for a unit. That's the conversion kit and the heater. You can't go to Lowe's and buy the heater by itself for that. And the conversion unit's $39. So it's really a good deal. And we bought 30 of them, and we have the opening if we need to get more. Right now they said what we need immediately is 30 heaters, and so we're going to have them this week, and we're going to get them there. If you want to be a part of that, please do. If you have any questions, call the church. We'll tell you exactly how to do it. But sometime this week, we may need to have some people help us unload them when they get here. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they'll be here this week. Pray. Get involved in the prayer thing. I don't care what else you think you may not be able to do about disaster recovery. You can pray, okay? You can pray. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the men and women who have given their lives all down through history for us to have free America and for us to have the freedom to be here today and talk about the things we've talked about and hear the gospel preached and sing these songs. Lord, we thank you and praise you for our veterans. Lord, we also want to thank you for those who are in Western North Carolina right now working, for those who've come and gone, and those who are helping supply the needs of those people there. Thank you for the compassion we see in the heart of America in ministering to the needs of these folks. Lord, as we go from this place today, help us to go with a song in our heart, joy in our hearts, because you have united the family of God to do ministry, and we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.